It's a while ago.
Right.
Hadn't been around a while. We sure appreciated their labor of love while they were with us. Amen.
Right.
And we owe them a debt. And we realize that. Have it? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Verse 27. Upon this, his disciples came and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." He said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say ye not that there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I send you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, 'He told me all that ever I did.'"
Right.
"So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And said unto the woman, 'Now we believe not because of thy sayings, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.'" Little lengthy reading. Would you join me in prayer? Father, thank you for this opportunity. And may your word go forth with power, and may it touch lives and alter lives. Give us vision, Lord, that we may see, and perception that we may hear, and a heart that we may understand. That these words speak to us and are pertinent to our time and to our day. If you'll do that, we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And the church said, when you get to John 3 and 4, you encounter two different people. You encounter Nicodemus, which was a very righteous man. In chapter 4, you entertain Samaritans of one of them, which was a woman, which was not a good moral woman. So in chapter 3, you find Nicodemus with his righteousness. Chapter 4, you find a woman with her sins. In chapter 3, you find a Jew receiving instructions. In chapter 3, you find a Samaritan receiving instructions. The whole of it is that Jesus comes to save both the good and the bad. Amen. So tonight we're going to look at the bad. You know enough about the good, but look at the bad. Do you know statistically it says that most men who or women who testify will do it within the first 2 years of their conversion? For after the first 2 years of their conversion, they will get Christianized, and they will begin to wonder what people will think about them if they was to speak up for Christ. So you see the eagerness of this woman. She had just received so much light. She had just met somebody who was just out of her league, and that she had never thought that there would be a prophet that would ever speak to her in her life, especially her being a Samaritan. She was in tune with the with the modern thought of her day, the Messiah would come. But little did she think that she was talking to the Messiah. But Jesus altered her thinking from water and well and bucket and routine to life and death and eternity. He altered her life by making her forget how bad she was and not be embarrassed about how bad she was. It's a wonderful thing to meet a Christ like that. It's of him that we need to testify. The old song says that nobody can do me like Jesus. So he does not come with a rebuke to her. He comes talking of water. And she said, you don't have anything to draw with. And he said, if you knew the gift of God, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. And then the woman was caught in that predicament, how to answer that statement. Living water, Jacob's water, been here every day of my life. What's living water, deeper water than I've got? Are you greater than Jacob? You see, he brought her into the movement of his ways. He drew and attracted her into his thinking. And now she has put her water pot down and she is conversing about worship. She went from water and everyday activities to worship. And she said to him, where will we worship, Jerusalem or here? And he said, no, you got it wrong again. Let's try it again. God is a spirit. You don't know that. You don't know what you worship. Let me introduce you to him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he draws a little bit further in. And then she is now mesmerized by the fact that this man is speaking things that she doesn't understand. And then all of a sudden he gets personal. He said, go call your husband. And all of a sudden, truth has come to bear.
Come on now.
I have had five.
Yes,
you have had five. And her thinking was, I have had five, and I don't want to tell him about the one that I've got now. So Jesus just starts telling her, revealing her past. Opening up her future by revealing her past. He said, yes, you've had five, and the one you got now is not yours. You wouldn't want Jesus for revival, would you? And the one you got now is not yours. Amen. And don't you think that didn't snap her head back?
Right.
You're just a man. You're not just a Jew. You're a prophet.
Right.
And he began to go on to tell her, as she would say, all that I ever did. Now, we don't hear that in there. The program has been narrowed and the interview has been shortened. For John does not tell us everything that Jesus told her. But when she went to see the men, she did not say, he told me about my marital life. She said, he told me everything that I ever did. The interview's a little longer than what you've got right here. God starts out with your mind, but he ends up with your heart.
Right.
He starts out with your life, but he ends up with your future.
Yes.
He starts out with your emotion, but he ends up with your heart in his hand. He not only looks into your past, but he also looks into your future.
Right.
He's not just interested in making you better. He's interested in making you whole.
Right.
And the difference between better and whole is once you get whole, you will stay whole.
Yes.
Because whole is something that a lot of people have never got a hold of. Whole. Body, soul, and spirit being preserved blameless against that day. That's wholeness. Body, soul, spirit. Amen. Many of us have got saved spirits and saved souls, but we got broken bodies. Many people have got strong bodies, but they've got wasted lives. Their soul and their spirit is wasted. Jesus comes to put hope back into the hopeless. Can anyone say amen? Hope back into the hopeless. You may have wasted your life. She had. But Jesus said, don't despair. There's still more for you. Don't lose hope. There's still another day.
Right.
Don't give up. You're just beginning to live.
Amen.
Don't throw it away. Jesus has a plan for your life.
Yes, sir.
Who would have ever thought that Jesus holding a crusade that would take in a whole city would have picked this woman to be his forerunner? God picked John. John was as clean as you could get. John was a holy man. But when Jesus picked a forerunner, he picked disciples, and they were just like us. He sent 70. They were just like us. But all of a sudden, he comes to the Samaritans, and he picks up this woman. And he decides that nobody can tell the story like she can tell it. And that's what it's all about, telling the story. That's what it's all about, is getting somebody to listen to the story you've got to tell. Amen. So Jesus is going to talk here about the harvest. And he waits until the woman is going away, and she's went away into the city. He lets his disciples say to him, want something to eat? He will say, no, I'm not hungry. And they will say, well, who is giving this? Who's giving that? And all the time, Jesus, sitting on the well, looking towards the city, just waiting. And then he says that he sees the first wave come out of the city. He says, don't say 4 months, and then the harvest. You see, they hadn't even sown the seed yet. But in Amos, it said there's coming a day when the plowman will overtake the reaper, and the reaper will overtake the plowman. He said no sooner than the seed will hit the ground, it'll spring up into a harvest. Oh, those are the wondrous days of revival. When all of a sudden you have seed sowing and reaping the same day. Hopefully tonight, as I throw seed out into the soil of humanity, that it might just spring up into a harvest.
Right.
Who knows what God can do if we would but let him.
Right.
He's a mender of broken hearts. He can turn a life around immediately. This woman, she left her water pot because she had urgent business. When you really get it, you want to tell somebody about it. Can I get an amen? I'm just preaching. I'm just up here preaching to get a few more minutes, and then I'm going to open the altar up. You see, she had something now burning in her heart. She started out with a Jew. She promoted him to a prophet, and then she found out that he is the Messiah.
Right.
And all of a sudden, that word Messiah rung a bell that she couldn't keep from pealing. All of it was, and now she's got to tell somebody, come see a man.
Right.
Come see a man who has told me all that I ever did.
Right.
Is not this the Christ? Amen. And I want to tell you tonight that's the whole of your system should be into telling somebody about this Jesus that you've discovered.
Right.
You sit in church for so long, you'll never be a witness. You'll never make yourself be a witness. You're through witnessing. You're not going to knock on any doors. You're not going to stand on the street corner and pass out tracts. It's now over for you. You've been churchized. You just come, sit in the pew. Look, if the preacher preached good, you might even stand up for his preaching. But as far as being an effective reaper, you're never going to do it because you don't sow. And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Right.
We believe in sowing 8 hours so we can get a paycheck.
Right.
You're welcome. We believe in going to other people's houses so they'll come to ours. You're welcome. But when it comes to looking at somebody and seeing the lostness of their soul, look again at this woman. Who would have picked her?
Right.
Who would have picked her?
Right.
Jesus did.
Right.
Because he knew that 2,000 years later, a preacher would be in the pulpit talking about how you can win souls and have to be persuaded how you can get somebody saved, and they'll have to turn somewhere to look for an example And when they do, they'll turn to this woman who had such a messed up life, she didn't even want to talk about it. But her messed up life didn't keep her from truth. Her messed up life didn't keep her from getting her heart right with God. Her messed up life was not the object of Jesus coming. It was to take that woman because he knew that once she got the truth, she'd run with it. You couldn't keep her from telling somebody. She goes into town, goes to the men. The women wouldn't have nothing to do with her. So she stops. Now you've got to have an imagination. Let me loan your mind for just a few minutes and then I'll sit down. Can you see her running through the gates of the city? Saying, "Woo, man, did I ever meet somebody? You won't believe this man. I first thought he was a prophet. He opened my heart, held it out, and talked to me about what was going on in my heart. He saw my life, saw how bad it was, and yet he was so kind to me. He told me everything that I did, but never once pushed me away, never once shunned me. He stood there and talked with me like a man ought to talk to a woman with respect. Oh, you ought to see this man. There's not another one like him anywhere. I think, yes, he's a Jew, but you'll believe in him if you'll just listen to him. Because if you talk to him very long, he'll tell you what you've been doing. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So they listened to her and they believed her words and they started out of the city. The Greek word right there for them, they started coming, is a continuance. They came out in surges. As the chatter went through that little town of Samaria, as it went through, people became. It got on this side of town and that side of town came. It got on that side of town and that side of town came. And the deeper it went into town, the more people that came out. It was just like a wave of wheat with a wind blowing over the field. They just kept on coming. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Say not 4 months, and then harvest."
Right.
The harvest is ripe. Pray the Lord of the Sabbath that he may send laborers. He was talking to that 12 that wasn't going to have nothing to do with that woman or nothing to do with those Samaritans. He said, "Say not now that this is not a harvest. Don't look at him like that. That's a harvest. That seed that's been sown is the right seed. This is a real harvest. These people are getting genuinely converted." Come on, somebody shout amen. Just when you think you found somebody that can't be saved, Jesus tears the slate up. Just when you want to write them off and say there's no hope for them, they come right back to church and pray, and the Lord talks to them. Can I get an amen? You see, never write nobody off because you don't know just what the Lord's going to do with them. I told Eric, I said, you'd hit the arm while it's hot, while you got this going, while the Lord is dealing with you, tell everybody you can about what he's done. Don't wait until it gets old hat. Don't wait until you lose your testimony and then try to tuck somebody. You'll never get it done. Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's why I like when Ron comes over. You know, he'll testify to anybody. He got over here and he said, "I've been out witnessing for your church." You know, Ron took the laps, tattoos up the neck, head shaved, jail ministry. He come over here and you know what he said? He said, "I was hungry and I went to Arby's." He said, "The first thing that waitress asked me," and he said, "I'm going to church. That's why I'm here. Would you like to go with me?" And she looked at him and said, "Well," he said, "I'm going tonight. Would you like to go?" And he said, "I told her to tell her friend in that kitchen that she could go too."
Come on. All right.
Come on. When's the last time you thought about that?
All right.
"Oh, we have such a good church," you'll say. But you don't invite nobody.
Come on now.
"Oh, we have such a wonderful service. But we want it all to ourselves."
Come on, brother.
Say not 4 months, and the harvest is going to come. It's time now tonight to break up the fallow ground. It's time to break it up deep. It's time to get it all broke up so we can sow seeds. Somebody needs to be saved. The ones that we have are witnesses that God can reach way back. God has been dealing with Jeff Henson for years. Jeff has never been without the conviction of God. Though he threw it away, yet he'll tell you with a nod of his head that conviction has been there. God dealt with him. When he finally come back home, it's time to make this very plain that God can bring them in even though they don't want to be brought in.
Come on now. All right. Come on, Brother Billy.
Amen.
Preach, Pastor, preach.
Look at Eric. He's got every potential that a young man could want. Eyes are still blue and hair still curly and still able to leap and run. Grown's a little bit now, but still got some things that he could offer.
Yeah.
Story to tell.
Yeah.
About how you can crash.
Uh-huh.
And lay in the crash. And don't even know that there's any hope for you. And then come in on a Sunday morning, God waiting on you. And before you go home, God spoke to him. Personally. Because God don't know the word defeat.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
He doesn't know of a wreck that he can't repair.
Right.
He doesn't know of a life that he can't put back together. We may not fly as high as we one time did, but we can still fly. Oh, I wish you'd help me. You see, it is up to us. The field is white. If I was to count all the children, the backslidden children out of this church, just the backslidden children and their children, you'd have to build another sanctuary to hold them. You know why they're not here? We gave up on them. The harvest is past. The summer's ended. The harvest is past. And the cry is, we're still not saved. But the harvest is not past. We may be reaping the corners, but the corners have wheat. We may be getting handfuls on a purpose, but the handful have hundreds of grains of wheat in them. And nothing is more discouraging. Do you know if a man loses a coin, he can find it? If a man loses a gem, he can find it? But if you let a crop go, you lose it?
Right.
How many know that?
Amen.
When it's time to put up garden, what do you got to do? In order to keep that garden, you've got to stop what you're doing and you've got to put that garden up. Because you can't put it on hold.
Right.
It's got to be done.
Right.
When it's time to reap, you've got to reap. When it's time to sow, you've got to sow.
Right.
Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So the story's told of this little boy who went to the city. He was a young man, lived on the farm all his life. He went to the city, got sick, laying there in a hospital. And he had just been out of it. He was so sick. The nurse came in his ward and he said to her, what month is it? And the nurse said, I think it's May. He laid up on his elbows and looked out the window. He said, I can't die. It's time to sow. And if I could say a word to the Dryden Old Church, it's not time to die. It's time to sow. You may have forgot your purpose. You may have lived in this city so long that you forgot how it is to break up a garden. You forgot how it is to plant it down the road and hope when you cover it up that there's going to be a crop. But I tell you, pray on. Keep sowing the seed. You never know when the harvest is going to be. And the harvest can be immediately. Amen. Oh yes, oh yes, that's true. You can say the right word in season and God give you a soul right there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I remember, and I told you about being in Boston preaching. I was preaching on the cross, on the left-hand cross, and I was preaching to them about how that man hated Christ, how he hated him so much that if he could have got down, he'd have joined those who crucified him. He had no use for Jesus. He was dying a lost man.
Yes.
But at the same time that man was dying lost, another one was clearing his eyes of the same wretched type. He cleared his eyes and took another look at that central figure of Christ. Though he was bloody, beaten, crucified, and dying, yet he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And those words got him immediate response. "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise."
Right.
You don't have to wait 4 months for a harvest.
Right.
You don't have to wait till they're dead and on a dying bed to get a response.
Right.
What we need is some people who will sow in victory and take those precious seeds and bear them weeping, and surely you'll come bearing sheaves rejoicing.
Right.
We just got to talk. Oh, some of you love to do that, but you just got a select thing you talk about. You should talk about Jesus more. You should tell people about him more. You should want to tell them about him more. You should say to them, "Ain't nobody ever done for me what Jesus done. You will not ever know how wretched I was till he came in my life. You'll never know what he saved me from. He took my life and rescued me from destruction." Amen. He dug me out of a horrible pit. He set me upon a rock. He established my going. He washed me whiter than the driven snow. You want to know about yesterday? I don't like to talk about it, but I was there in that yesterday. I remember my mom telling me, "Daryl," she'd say, "you need to pray." I'd say, "Mom, I'm as good as some of the people you go to church with." She said, "I can't tell you how much you need to pray." I said, "Mom, I'm as good as those people you go to church with, just like I am." And she'd walk down the stairs crying. I got off. I bluffed my way through another one. But that night when I was in church and the Holy Ghost came over, there was no escaping him. He knew me. He said, "You told me that when you got home you would pray. Don't you think it's time now that you should pray?" I broke, I wept, I trembled, and I came. I got saved, and 48 years later, I'm still saved. What mom could not do with her lectures, what the preacher could not do with his sermon, the Holy Ghost could do with his power. And I tell you right now, if you sow right, the Holy Ghost will water your crop. If you put that word out, he will water your crop. And he will give you a harvest. If you say it, you mean it. Mean it when you say it. They know when you mean it. They know when you really want them to come. When it's not just something you're doing because you're expected to do it as a Christian. When it's in your heart that you can't live thinking about them dying. That you can't eat and sleep thinking about them going to hell. That when you look at them, you see a hell-bound sinner going to a devil's hell that it's not the will of God for them to go to. And when your heart gets involved, the Holy Ghost will get involved with your words. When your heart gets involved and you really want to see sinners saved, you'll wet these altars again with tears. You'll come up here pleading with God to save the lost. Not much of an evangelist, am I? Man, am I preaching like a pastor? Some of you are so bad, you are almost beyond hope. When was the last time you carried a burden? Do you know we still get more joy out of dancing and running and singing than we do out of people getting saved?
Come on, brother. Come on.
Now, if you think I'm off on my rocker, just wait a minute, because this is my closing statement. Which do you do the most of?
Right. All right.
People who love to shop will shop. People who love to fish will fish. People who love to hunt will hunt. Whatever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And when your heart is set on somebody getting saved, you won't be satisfied until you see him at the altar. Amen.
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 Amen. We wasn't worth much on the hill. We didn't amount to much. There wasn't any of us ever going to amount to a whole lot. The boys that I run with, one got killed. The other got cancer of the tongue. Couldn't just cut his tongue out, and he couldn't hardly talk. Another one died. Another one died. Another one died. All the boys on the hill, I'm about the last one standing. And that revival that I got saved in, God visited the hill because somebody prayed and said, God, you've got to save those boys. He saw the worst in us, but he knew that we needed a Jesus. He prayed and fasted, fasted and prayed. He didn't say anything to us prior to the revival and didn't hardly do much preaching during the revival because we just kept in coming in waves. Just kept coming. Started out with two of us. Then there come another three or four. And then next night there was three or four more until the final count of 20-some young Christians there. One young man, he told his story and he said simply these words. He said, I got in my car to go get drunk. He said, I pulled out of the driveway and he said, I should have went that way. And he said, I ended up going that way. He said, I found myself irresistibly overpowered. He said, I really didn't want to be here, but I'm here. He said, when I would try to go another direction, something would overpower me. Well, he had a dramatic testimony. You know, a dramatic testimony. But God needed to convince him because he really didn't want to get saved. And somebody had prayed for him that he would get saved. And we found out why a while later, not too long after the revival, after we got saved. He was coming over East 50 Hill, going east on East 50 out of town. He came down through there. And a tie rod in his car broke, and he went over the embankment, and the Bedford paper carries it. Young man with his hands on the steering wheel, the door pried open, and him burnt just to a crisp. That's why God overpowered him, for it's not God's will that any should perish. If God is dealing dramatically with you, there chances are there's something right there in your future. And God already sees it. And he's trying to get you ready for the inevitable. For it's appointed a man once to die and then the judgment. That's why, Jeff, it's so important for you to stay with us this time. That's why, Torah, don't even turn, look back. There's nothing to go back to. That's why, Eric, put everything you got in his hands. Trust him with everything you got. You may start off with nothing, but it's yet to be seen what God will do with you if he can have all of you. He won't work in a partnership. It's got to be master and servant. It's got to be Lord and Savior. He's got to have all. This time, all. And it's yet to be seen. I thank God for revival that the Holy Ghost said, I have begun to work. Will you let him? Will you let him?
Come on, Pastor.
Somebody you know needs to be told about Jesus. Somebody you know needs to be warned about being lost. Somebody you know could go to hell before too long. And you may be, as Brother Claude Ely preached, the only road block
on the road to hell.
Yes.
Has a righteous man err, and you do not warn him, then that righteous man will lose everything. And if a sinner sins and you see it and you don't warn him, he said, I will require his blood
right.
at your hands.
Right.
How important is it that we see the harvest? It's according to what face you see in that harvest, isn't it? Can you look at that boy and see him lost and go into a devil's hell? Can you stand it, even to think about it? No. Then it's time and high time that we wake out of sleep and that we get busy back to the harvest. Who knows who God can save and will save if we only sow the right seed. Stand with me and bow your heads. Our Father, we come before the throne of a gracious God. That it's not your will, and we know it's not. It's written, it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth and repent and be saved. We thank you, Father, because of 1 John chapter 5, where it said, if we ask anything according to your will, we know that you hear us, and we have the petition of which we ask. I claim that, Father. I claim the truth of that. I'm not asking for gold. I'm not asking for silver, popularity. I'm not asking for anything except that you give me with the souls of my family. I want my children saved and my children's children. I want you to move, Lord, and keep your word. For you said, if I believe upon you, as you told Paul to tell that Philippian jailer, if I believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I should be saved and my house. I want that promise to reach out to the hearts of my people tonight. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. House. I plead the blood over the families of this church. I plead the blood over the children that's been out for so long. The sun is setting, the night is coming, and no man's going to work. If we're to escape, we must do it like Noah. We must build an ark for the salvation of our family. Father, reach tonight. Touch hearts. Alter our ways that they may please you. Speak to us, Holy Ghost. Speak to our hearts. And let us come before you and say, God, put somebody on my heart. Let me carry the burden for that soul. Help me, Lord, to be faithful to that. And I will want to rejoice when I see them coming to an altar to pray. In Jesus' name we ask, Father. Amen. While I was speaking, did the Lord lay somebody on your heart? Anyone on this side, just lift up your hand and say, yes, somebody came to my mind. Look at those hands. On this side, somebody come to you. Look at those hands. And they're ours for the asking. If we faint not, if we ask and doubt not, in our hearts you shall have whatsoever you say. That's not charismatic, that's Bible. So I ask you to step out from where you're at. As they come, get us a song. I ask you to step out from where you're at and come and bring that name to this altar and spend some time praying about that name. Thank you.